Blog Talk Radio.
Patriot Family Chat. I'm Linda Sills here in Oceanside, California, with a beautiful, beautiful day here, and I'm filling in for Bill Strong, who needs our prayers. We have many, many people in our Patriot family at this point who need our prayers. We have Chuck, who has got lung cancer. He's got a son named Justin. We pray for them. Martha is in pain from her back. We pray for her. I spoke yesterday or the day before. No, it was yesterday, to Yola's husband's son, and she's at home, but she's still got a bad lung infection, so we're praying for her, and I'm going to start in a minute with some prayers for everyone. Bill Strong's dad is in the process of dying. If we have not lost him already, I have not heard anything, but we pray for everyone. Ron and Hollis are working their tuchuses off, and, you know, they're just... You know, we pray for them because they're trying to stretch themselves too thin. We pray for this country. We want healing for everyone, everyone at this site. We have so many things to be grateful for, yet we have things to be fearful of only in the natural, because with God, there is no fear. And I just want to give a shout out to Hollis for bringing us this program at patriotfamilies.com. www.patriotfamilies.com. I do have Robert and Michael Magic on the phone two wonderful people, and I want to welcome them. And I want to start with one little prayer here for our families. And I want to say, Dear Father who art in heaven, please hold up for healing Bill Strong, comfort him, send the comforter to his heart and his whole family as his father is dying. This is a hard time for him. Before I forget, everyone go to Facebook and look for Bill Strong or Patriot Families, because Bill's cousin wrote a beautiful song in tribute to Bill's father. I was in tears when I heard it. We want Yo to be healed. I'm holding her up, Lord, to you for healing. Please help her doctors find what to do. Give her a lung specialist, something to get her through this. Everyone on Patriot Families, our country, our pastors, our leaders, our citizens, please let us not be divided. We don't want another civil war in this country, Lord. Please hold us all up for healing. And God bless you, and thank you for your son, because he's it. He's the answer. He is our king. We only have one king in this country, and that's Jesus Christ. And I thank you, God, in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, welcome, sirs, both of you, whoever would like to start.
Good evening, and Robert.
Hey, Mr. Michael, how you doing?
Good.
You hanging in there?
We're hanging in there.
That's all we can do.
And, Robert, did you like my opening song and my prayer?
I love that song.
Oh, I do, too.
I always liked Amazing Grace.
That's just one of, it says it all. It really says it all. And as humans, you know, because we're such fallen little creatures, and the grace is what saves us, not our works. It is the grace of God. And we can't even wrap our minds around it. So every night I thank him for that grace. I mean, I thank him for so many things, even when things are going wrong, because he needs to hear the thank yous, folks. He needs to hear them. Amen?
Oh, jeez.
How are you doing, Mr. Magic? Thank you for joining us.
You know, the Lord has many, many ways in which he works, a countless,
yes,
endless amount of ways in which he works in our love, through love, in our lives. The love that he has, you know, for all earth is an unconditional love, mm-hmm, that there just is no bounds to. But when you decide to give your love and your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the things that can happen and will happen in your life are, I have to say, just incredible, because you never feel alone.
In the
middle of the desert, Linda, but you never feel alone.
I'm in the middle of libtard land. You want to feel alone? Oh, Lord. But I don't, because I feel the Holy Spirit around me when I pray. I feel when I read the scriptures. I feel it when I'm starting to get it. I get it in my dreams, Michael. I'm not kidding. I've said this on my shows before and other shows when I've talked to Ron and other people, yourself, whether it's Mike from Connecticut, whether it's Robert Kaplan. Rod says, Joseph is a prime example. God used him to save Israel and rewarded him for his suffering and his faith. Well, he rewarded many people for their faith. One was a Roman centurion who showed a great example of faith, and the woman who tried to touch his robe, he said, by your faith be healed, woman. That's what did it for you. And it, because she had so much faith, knowing that if she just touched the edge of his robe, that she would be healed. And it was just a phenomenal story. And that's why the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, give me so much hope, so much peace, so much comfort every single day. I'm going to read a little bit from this cool book about being the heart of the shepherd, but I want to do the John 3:16, because this is so important, people. And if we don't get this message out through pulpits, through, I don't care if you have to stand on a street corner with a bullhorn, you need to do it now because our country and our world is melting. And we're just, you know, relying on the Lord and our own resources and common sense, for the heaven's sakes. But when I pray, I you know that old saying, you sleep on it? Well, it works. But if you pray first, it works in spades because he has always answered, and I wake up knowing what I should be doing and knowing that I should not be a hypocrite, knowing I should not admonish people and pass judgment on people ever or be wicked towards them, because this is not the way to win the argument, whatever it is. So I will go with hi, FT, thanks for joining the show, and Rod, of course, and my two wonderful phone guests, Michael Magic and Robert Kaplan, who's our token Jew, and we love him because he's such a little yenta. We just love him. Anyway, I want to go with, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever so shall believe upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The significance of that is so phenomenal, I can't even grasp it, that by that grace, that act, all of those, that new covenant, it's a done deal. You get in there and you repent, you ask him to be your king, and you take him for your savior, your name's written. It's fabulous. This should give hope to every living soul on this planet. This is my feeling about it. That's why I get so much comfort from my scriptures written when Jesus speaks, written in the words of red in my Bible. There's a, let's see, oh, this is from one of the pastors here in Oceanside, and it's called The Heart of the Shepherd by Stephen Chappell. And he says, God likens us to these little sheep animals in Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. If indeed we are sheep, then there is no greater undertaking to accomplish than to know our shepherd. Within the sheepfold of humanity, there are only two kinds of sheep, those who are saved and those who are lost. Within the realm of sheep who have been saved, there are those who stay close to the shepherd and those who stray away from his protection. As you begin the study, ask the Lord to help you understand his heart and to help you draw closer to him in your daily life, which is very good advice, if I may say so. What say you, Mr. Magic, since you love the Lord as I do?
You know, it is really an awesome thing to be able to know and, you know, and share with other people. I was talking to a friend of mine who is leaving in a week from yesterday to go from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan down to Corpus Christi, Texas, with a fifth-wheeler. And, you know, I said, he is a man of God, and I told him, you need to, you know, really, you know, put your faith, there's putting your faith in God. It says, you know, so much, you know, to God, but it shows other people as mm-hmm. well. You know, he just, when I look outside here, Linda, I mean, we have little tiny birds that are like
an inch
and a half long. And all winter in 0 degree temperatures, and God takes care of these little tiny creatures, how much more can he take care of you and I, Linda?
It's in the Bible. It is. It is said. And on my show tomorrow, I like to open with a scripture, and I've chosen the parable when they were in the boat and Peter was walking on water, because I want to kind of expand on it, but because it's so beautiful. You know, again, we are very grateful for what we have. We pray every day. And one of the reasons I wanted to go ahead and do this show is I want this to be in archives, because it's so important for our Patriot families, for what Bill's going through right now and all of us are going through right now. So, again, our prayers go up each night to every member, especially those who are really, really sick and those who need his help and the doctor's help. And, you know, Lord, put your hands on those doctors and you get them helping everybody because, you know, and then God, of course, comfort, because we know that Bill's dad's probably not going to make it. It's one of those end of life situations. And I've gone through it with my dad, and that was almost 3 years ago. And my mother will be 90 years old in November, just whatever day Thanksgiving is on hers is 1922. She will be 90 years old. So, and thank God she's doing okay. We take real good care of each other. She has admonished me not to go to class because my neck was killing me, and I tell her how to put the ice on, and she, you know, take it easy, Mom. Don't run after your son-in-law when he's fixing the house up. Oy. But, you know, we all have to do this, and there is so much power in prayer. And let's see, it is tonight at 6 p.m. my time, which is 9 p.m. you guys' time. There, everyone on my left coast here is who are the conservatives and who love the Lord, all want us to pray together for the country. So we're going to do that too. And I just wanted to go a little before I get into, we'll do a little bit of 5 minutes. I know that Rod has sent me items, which I will be dealing with tomorrow on the gas prices of California. There has been nothing but talk about this on Mark Levin's show, in the newspapers for 2 days in a row. Stupid Dianne Frankenfeinstein has decided, you got to love this, she's doing a federal investigation on price gouging. She's so stupid. I can't believe this woman is a senator. Anyway, Levin was talking about the refineries. They've been shutting down refineries in California because of the EPA. They won't let you build anymore because of our stupid regulations. And it says, Brown takes action to curb gas prices. Governor okays early switch to winter blend as pain at the pump surges to a record high. Well, what I heard from the Mike Slater show was trying to explain this, and there was more explanation coming with the articles I've read. Number one, California is the only dang state in the union that does this. We have to have all these CARB standards, EPA standards, you know, special blends so that we don't pollute the air. And they have violated the Constitution of the Commerce Clause by saying that they can't bring gas from any other state because it doesn't meet our stupid standards. I get so angry. So it's perpetual. There's nothing's going to fix this. He's going to say, oh, well, because we had one of the refiners, we got two here in California with, you know, 37 million people. It's just ridiculous. So, and the stuff that's going on in the rest of the country is due to Stephen Chu, the Department of Energy, the EPA, the idiot in chief, you know, everything that's going on there. It's insanity. They're perpetuating because they will not allow Texas and Arizona and Nevada to bring gas tankers in here with the gas to help us reduce our prices. It's never going to go away until all this other nonsense, unconstitutional nonsense, goes away. In fact, tomorrow, if I have a minute, because I don't today, I'm going to call Feinstein's office and say, are you nuts? Why are you looking to people who are supposedly price gouging, which they're not? She's such a numbskull. Why aren't you looking to Sacramento and CARB and cap and trade, which is going to really, I mean, the people leaving California in droves, businesses sending thousands of jobs out of here within months from now. They're closing 30 coal-fired plants in Ohio alone. That doesn't even scratch the surface on the rest of the country. What is it going to – it's – I can't believe it. Michael, what do you say?
I think this is still part of a very large agenda, Linda.
Oh, yes.
Which to consolidate people, you know, into, you know, larger areas. And the smaller they make the country, when you talk people evacuating California and they put them into other bigger cities and stuff, you know, when they come and they finally do their thing, well, apparently, I guess they think it would be that much easier for them. But I think I have some news for them as well, you know. This cannot succeed, you know, because God is the master of control.
Well, you know, I agree with you, but I think he, of course, will have the last word, and he is our Savior. He's the one we look to for answers. The Bible is where you should get your blueprint from. I get that. The Constitution was written back in the day as close to perfect as you could get for a government. I mean, John Locke and Montesquieu and de Tocqueville and Cicero were very instrumental. Both books of the Bible were very instrumental. Mosaic law, everything was incorporated. These people didn't just pull this out of their derrieres, Michael. They worked their tuchuses off forever. My God, they knew what they were fighting, and they knew what people could become, because these people were like biblical scholars. This is, you know, what I'm saying. And then we've got a divided country. We've got people, my friends around me, they don't get it. I'm trying to sow the seeds. I was at a party Saturday night, and I got pretty well hammered, so Sunday I was out of it. But it was fun. Like I said, as long as they keep selling and making Chardonnay, I'm good. But I can't help it. You know, with the things that are going on, I'm surprised that I don't shoot heroin at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm just kidding. But, you know, this is what we're up against. We're up against great evil. When you look at the EPA, in fact, Brett Baer did one Sunday night. It was an hour show on behind Barack Obama's green energy agenda. And then Mark Levin also, who wrote Liberty and Tyranny and talks about eco-statism, which is or enviro-statism, which is the environmentalist wackos, which have started this crap and perpetrated it and made us into the mess we're in today. And I think Mark Levin's off on one point. He said it only took 2 decades to destroy California. I said, no, they've been doing this for 40 freaking years. That's how long it took them, but they did it. And he said if they get their way, these leftists and these progressives, they'll do it to the whole country. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to push this. The only state that I know that's kicked Agenda 21 out of their entire state is Alabama, the only one in the union that I know of so far. So if I were to not want to have to go up against that Leviathan, that's the only place I could go to do it. But people, I mean, it's insane because they're talking about how this got perpetrated even in the 80s through the universities. They have been indoctrinating these kids for 30 years about this enviro-statism, this eco-justice, this, you know, sustainable development nonsense. It's disgusting. I think I lost poor Robert. Hopefully he will call back, because I always like hearing him when we can. But it's insane what they're doing with these gas prices. And it's not the oil companies. The oil companies aren't even subsidized. Big Bird subsidized. It's ridiculous.
Linda.
Yes.
How much is gasoline out there currently?
Right now it's $4.71, the lowest. I've seen it up as $4.99 in San Diego. L.A. was $5.13 a couple days ago. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable what's going on.
And I just quickly have to address something Rod put in the chat room.
Yes.
He said, what would happen if the oil companies get tired of being pushed around and just shut down a refinery? And, you know, my answer to that through many years of research is that all of these large oil companies are either controlled in one way, shape, or form. They're bribed, or they are forced to, you know, work in the direction of the agenda of what they are trying to accomplish here, which is the one world.
Oh yeah.
And if you do not play ball with these people, I mean, they will threaten you. They will threaten your family.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
If they bribe you, they will threaten you.
Well, what's happening is, you know, and like when we talked before, and we talked about the demise of Barack Obama because of the elitists with Pastor Lindsey Williams, and I think they don't want him back in. That's why this is coming to fruition. There's the donor contributions from China, the voter fraud, the Fast and Furious, the Libya scandal. I mean, there's just stuff coming out of the woodworks because I don't think they want him back in. This is why I think you're going to see more and more that Romney's going to win all the debates. You know, the one Thursday with Biden and Ryan is going to be a blowout. There's so many people, which kind of surprises me, doesn't kind of surprise me. I'm surprised that Obama even has 20% of the popular support. However, with everything that's happening and with the global collapse of the economy, the United States collapse of the economy coming soon, the threat of World War III, just the gas prices, every day that I go to the store, because I go every couple days for my mom because she's always running out of stuff, they just keep jumping, the prices of food. Everybody's, you know, pretty ticked off. Everything that's coming down, I think this is all happening kind of for a reason, and that's why everyone's praying tonight for intervention from God, because I don't even know where to go, you know, other than the Lord. And we the people. That's why they said we the people in giant letters. It wasn't just by a font choice. Just drives me nuts. So what say you, sir?
You know, absolutely. There's so much going on out there. So much to try to keep track of. There's so much, you know, evil. There are so many different entities to their agenda.
Yes.
As far as, you know, where they are headed. And, you know, this is what I've tried. My eyes have really been opened up over the past several months. I mean, I need to spend, you know, more time sharing the love, you know, the gift of God to other people. Because, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, Americans are not going to be able to stop the global elite with their shotguns. You know, you may be able
to, but the
overall plan, I mean, it is prophesied, it is God's word, and I don't think he would put his word out there falsely for us to believe and follow. And especially, Linda, how you and I, you know, have shared and stuff about having the spirit of Christ within us, and, we know, and he leads us, you know, to share,
yes,
and to just kind of, you know, inform people about what is really going on. So, you know, my shows in the future will be aimed more in that direction, you know, rather than specific things like you know, pharmaceuticals or the banking industry.
Oh,
and
God.
Endless, Linda.
Endless.
When I can say, you know, God is love, and he is the answer.
I must say that Glenn Beck does have the right ideology on this point. You do not conquer hate with hate. It's not going to happen. You can't conquer darkness without the light. You know what I mean? With more darkness. You can't. So we can go through any history book you want to go through. Believe me, I've been reading like a little banshee for 4 years, and then prior to those 4 years on novels, Hitler, this just things that came across my desk, the Holocaust, you name it, I've read. I could fill up a library. But just in the last 4 years, believe me, I know what communism does. I know what totalitarianism does. They, just in World War II, or from the Bolshevik Revolution until the end of 1945, the things that went on in Europe and in Russia, and of course Mao Zedong in China, was responsible for the slaughter of so many more people than the Black Plague of Europe could even think of doing. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. So my argument now is to people, do you want liberty or tyranny? And I tell them the books I've read. I tell them what I've gone through reading those books. Because I'm not playing games anymore. You know, they can not be my friend anymore. Fine. Go educate yourself. Because I've said at that party, because I had a couple of wines, I says, look. I says, this is what's happening. I says, because I do my homework. You know, I get frustrated because they just, I mean, these people get their news from PBS, for God's sakes. I'm like, okay. I'm ready to eat my 9mm. I'm like,
that's because the Big Bird, Linda.
I know. like, holy God in heaven. And I even told them, I don't get my news from the black box in the living room. I don't give a dang what station you're on, if it's PBS or CNN or PMS LSD. I don't care. It's lies. And I didn't get as far to say that, hey, through the newspapers and the education systems and the government, they've been lying to us for 130 years. They'd have thought I was completely out of my mind. But, you know, I mean, the gas price situation, look, if you allow the Constitution to prevail and the Commerce Clause to prevail, which they're not in California because they're just – they're so Stalinist here, we would not be dealing with these gas prices. If we were allowed to get our natural resources and we didn't have to deal with Agenda 21 and people like Obama, Hitlery, and the rest of them, and Stephen Chu or whatever his stupid name is, you know, there would be no problem with gas in this country. Zero problem with gas in this country and low prices and energy and electricity. But oh no, they got to be fascists, Il Duces, all of them. They're, you know what? They're paving their own way to hell. And I got news for you. They've got their spots all picked out because they have sold out. What do you think, Robert?
Oh, I'm sick of it after watching the debate and. And after everybody saying how Obama just wasn't there. And
I know.
He wasn't there.
It's called the Marxist has no clothes, finally.
You know,
and here's the reason. You have to look at this logically. When this guy was even a senator, and then when he was running, and then he got elected, and then he got sworn in, all that time period, that piece of, you know what, had a teleprompter. He's never had an original thought in his born days.
No.
This is the first time he was challenged by someone who wasn't, you know, over this clown. And
Romney,
holding
Romney,
him up as makes me sick.
You know, Romney won. I have to hand it to him. He won the debate. I mean, I hate to say it, but
he did.
The
Schmendrick is he's a naked Marxist, and I did hear Glenn say a couple times, and he's probably right because he's pretty good at predicting things, and I don't agree with him 100% because I know, you know, he's a Mormon, he thinks Israel's, you know, the bomb. I don't agree with him on everything, but he says I think we're real close to this guy, this POTUS, this President Pantload, and actually coming out someday on a microphone saying, yeah, I'm a Marxist, so what? That's, I absolutely think so.
They're all Marxists as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know, I mean, I did my research too, and, you know, I'm still in awe. If you want to know the truth, Linda, it really doesn't matter. I mean, I got his time on my hands, and that's
okay,
all I
here's
have.
As far as, you know, the election goes, you know, whichever side, you know, like I said, I'm going to write a 3-page letter to Romney if he gets in. The you know, if the other one gets in, it's building a bunker time. either one, more food storage, more ways to plant gardens, more ammunition, more, you know, everything, more prayer, more trying to wake people up. I don't know. It's insane. And then, you know, hopefully I can stave it off and fight it back.
You know what the moral of the story, Linda, is? The moral of the story is, you know, all these credit card companies that are on TV and everybody, and debt resolution, and if you're over $10,000 worth of debt, we could help you, blah, 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 blah. We got to help the government. You know, it's amazing now that everything's going to be handed to the states now. It's going to be the state's responsibility. You know what? If it's going to be the state's responsibility, we don't need the government. Period. That's the moral of the story. It's as simple as take Washington out of the equation. Just take them out of the equation. That's what I say. Take them out of the equation. And say, and we're talking about God and everything. We say the mourner's cottage. When someone's poor, my heart goes out to Bill. and with his dad. And and there's a prayer in the Hebrew faith called Kaddish, and you say the mourner's Kaddish, and that's what I say to the government. Take Washington out of the equation. Let the states control their lives, and I think the world would be a better place.
Well, I'm sure that was the whole idea, and then of course we had Lincoln destroying the state sovereignty way back when. We haven't had a free market capitalist system since 1850 or thereabouts. And then we got the good old Federal Reserve, the creature from Jekyll Island, which just drives me up a pole. Illegal everything. California, they're doing the illegal thing and have been for eons. Of course, I woke up now. Now it's time for me to call Frankenstein and tell her what I think in so many words. And I'll try to be polite.
I love it when you bash her.
Yeah. Well, she deserves it.
I'm so sorry, Len.
No.
Oh, man.
Look, anybody who I make fun of, and they've earned it. Big time. They have gone out of their way to earn it. Look, these clowns will not. If we had a free market system and we stuck to the Constitution, which makes interstate commerce and free flowing like it was meant to be, and that's what the founders envisioned, and every other state gets to get bailed out by, generosity of the others and coming to the rescue, we wouldn't have these gas prices in California, because Texas and Arizona and everywhere else would be able to truck in those gasoline tankers, but they won't let them do it, because California is one of the most illegal progressive pieces of global elite states on the planet. This is what they're doing to us. And the EPA and the Stephen Chus and the Lisa Jacksons and the Hildebeest Clintons are doing, this is what they're doing to us. I can't take it anymore. And every one of them, they belong in orange jumpsuits. That's it. I can't take them anymore.
Well, we're going to have to wait and see. I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see.
I know. Every day I try to wake people up. I do. I actually, one of the girls, one of the most liberal, the ones that listens to Big Bird on KPBS, which I had about 6 glasses of wine, so they were tiny ones, but still. And it didn't even register until 2 days later. I'm going, oh, my God, she's to the most progressive liberal, libtard station on the planet, which gets subsidized by you and me. Well, not me, because right now I'm too broke. I don't pay taxes. And I'm retired, not by choice, but and I explained to her, because she was cooking, and I thought, okay, how can I get to this girl? How can I explain to her simple math, economics, and how it works when you're dealing with oppressing the job creators? So I says, okay, I said to her, I said, do you know who Calvin? She didn't even know who the heck Calvin Coolidge was. Okay, this was after I showed her the list of books that I've read. I don't think it resonated too much with her, but I tried. And I said, look, I says, why do you think they called it the Roaring Twenties? And she says, I don't know. And I says, okay, here's the deal. So I gave her the whole thing. I told what he did. In 2 years, he got the unemployment rate down to 1.8%, which means, and I told her, if you could breathe on a mirror, you had a job. That's like ultra employment. And I know Reagan did similarly the same things, because he was a fan of Coolidge. He also cut the spending of the federal government and the federal government bureaucracies by 50%. And he did this like in 2 years. He also cut the tax rates for everyone from 73% down to about 25%, maybe less. In about 5 years after that went down, the middle class grew like crazy, and their income increased for each family by about 37%. You want to know why it's called the Roaring? I mean, my God, it was a blowout. And unfortunately, it only lasted until his term was up. And then we had, oh, God, I think we had FDR.
Are you talking about the Ready Made Ryan?
The what?
Are you talking about the running mate, Ryan?
No, I'm talking about Calvin Coolidge in the Roaring Twenties in 1921.
Oh, what Calvin Coolidge plan?
And so,
right, that's your favorite. That's your favorite plan. It's Miss Linda.
Well, here's the deal. So she looked at me like I was from Mars, and she says, but she took it in, and she says, oh, my God. And it clicked with her. It was like this little light bulb went on, not the big light bulb, but at least a small one. And she says, oh, yeah, Roaring Twenties. I says, well, yeah. I says, that's why they called it that. But you're not going to get that from your history books, from the Marxist, you know, indoctrination daycare centers. You know, I just let that go through her little brain, and here's what I hope she does. This is what I'm hoping she does. I would hope she would look up the time of Cal Coolidge and start reading history of this country, at least a little bit. I mean, even, you know, 10, 15 minutes of research. If I could at least inspire someone to do something, you know, with their brain other than watch PBS, for God's sake. I think
PBS.
I've done that. Yeah,
at least Romney had the guts to shut the moderator down. I mean, I was, you know.
Oh, that was hot. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to Thursday just because I want to see Biden, you know, thrown out into
that debate.
You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just looking at buying the silver and the food. My rare seeds are coming in. My heirloom seeds are coming in pretty soon. So they said within the next 2 days I should have them. I don't know what I spent, but I'm going to make a giant garden, and I've got all this stuff ready and great soil and all kinds of neat things, so I can make food, and I'm doing everything I can to prepare. Nobody understands. I'm not kidding. Every single libtard that I have to come in contact, they have no clue. And they're the ones that are going to be out in the streets screaming.
Well, I got food in my freezer. That's all I can say.
Well,
I may have $100 left in my checking account for the end of the month, but, you know.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is, Linda. I swear to God, I had a bad month.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've got like 2 to 3 months of food storage and cans and, you know, dry goods in my storage for me and my mom. I've got a little bit of cash stash, try to keep the gas tank full, looking towards doing all these things. Got plenty of ammo, looking to buy more. You know, I'm just doing everything that I can do, trying to educate people. I'm doing my phone banking for my local city council. I'm phone banking for state assembly here in California and you know, calling up people and giving them, you know, holy heck when I need to.
I need to start doing that. I've been out of the realm, but I need to get it.
Robert, I do this every day. I mean, this Saturday I'm going to my niece's wedding, so that's going to cover that day. Sunday I'm going to take a break. Either Friday or Sunday I will go see Atlas Shrugged Part 2 because it's an amazing movie. They did a really good job with Part 1, so I'm going to do that. Again, I drop hints everywhere. I've got bumper stickers that make people probably very ticked off, but you know what? I don't care. The only reason that I want Romney to win is I can take the ugly Obama sticker off my car, the one that says, does this ass make my car look fat?
You know what happened to me today? Let me tell you what happened. I was driving around with my car all day long in the air conditioning, right? You know, the air was cool. It was like maybe 85, maybe. I was going to the post office, and then I put the window down for my dog. And this lady, I almost ran this lady over because she was walking in the middle of the post, you know, middle of the traffic, you know, like all the socialists do. You know how they do. And she comes into my face. She goes, "You're not gonna leave your dog in that car, are you?" So, lady,
yeah.
I'm gonna be there for a couple of minutes to just chill out. I said, "Lady, mind your own business and leave me alone and get out of my face."
Unbelievable.
What else can I do? What else can I do?
Yeah,
I mean, that was the first time I lost it, wasn't it? I just totally, I wasn't kind to this lady. She just got into my face and really just
Yeah. I know everybody's got to be a busybody, and we've talked about these on these things on our shows before. It's like, you know, fascism and stuff. You know, I just wanted to ask Michael, you know, what have you done, and what would you suggest for people to do to more prepare, or, you know, I know that I've done probably everything I can. I will continue to talk to my neighbors. I half-heartedly made a joke to the one behind me, this sweet lady who's she has a garden out there and she grows her own food and stuff. I said about the financial collapse that's coming, and I kind of explained. I didn't scare her, but I did explain, you know, look at the inflation, and I keep doing this, getting it worse. And I said, so she says, oh, yeah, she kind of got some of it. And I said, I half-heartedly said to her, I said, we got to stick together and help each other out. I says, because when you see me with my holster and my 9 on my hip, then you know things have gone south. And she laughed. She says, that's good to know. And I said, yeah, it is. So just give me an update on what you've done and what you suggest for people to do.
Well, I have actually, like I said earlier, I've actually had, you know, a change of heart in my thinking about all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's word, you know,
right.
The King James version of the Bible, you know, it says very clearly in there that God will not allow you to suffer more than you can endure, more than you can stand, okay? And if there should be any kind of nuclear war or whatever, you ain't going to have time to eat all the food that you have stored up. I'm sorry.
I understand that.
You're not able to use your guns against that. So, you know, again, you know, God is the greatest asset. Putting your faith, sharing God with other people is the greatest asset that you can have above anything, whether it be water, food, ammunition, anything.
Oh, I know. I agree with you. I'm just thinking between now and, you know, the time they decide to take me out on my porch, you know, I'm just trying to enlighten people, trying to help them understand what's coming. Many people do not want to hear it. They're in the allegory of the cave. They refuse. They just refuse out of ignorance, out of, I don't know, fear, probably. We have not, like I think Ron said before, we have not gone through what George Washington went through and what the colonists went through with their huge usurpations of liberty against them and the tyranny that they had to go through. I don't even want to get to that point, but I fear it may have to get to that point before the revolution or whatever happens. I don't know if that makes sense. Are you still there? Am I in?
No. Yep. You're here. I just had to go into the other room for a second. I was talking to my wife, who's here.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I missed. No, I'm sorry. I missed about 20 or 30 seconds of what you were saying there. So maybe Robert can make a comment on that.
Okay. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, you know, we're not. I'm preparing the best way I know how.
Okay.
You know, but I'm stocking up on food. You know, I can't. I haven't grown. You know, a garden yet.
Right.
Because I know my dog won't eat the food.
Absolutely.
I just live day by day, paycheck to paycheck, just like a normal middle class person does, and you know,
yeah.
I did not. And I just heard that next year in April, tax day, and I will be paying $2,000 extra on my income.
I got to tell you one good story. There was one really uplifting story of my weekend prior to going down to the party where the libtards were hanging out. Although one or two got at the hostess of the thing is very conservative. She understands it. She gets it. She's reading a little bit. So, I was going to the market to buy the ingredients to make my garden salad for this party. Anyway, so here's this chick. She's like 27 years old, maybe 30, very young and pretty girl. And I hear her talking. I'm in line to go out. She's a checker. And then there's the bag girl who I remember from two and a half years ago when I was like out in front of that supermarket with information about how, what a communist Meg Whitman was when all that stuff was going on. And, of course, Jerry Brown gets elected. Oy. And then, so, and she was asking questions. So I think, I'm hoping that whatever I inspired in her 2.5 years ago, and so this young girl in the checkers trying to educate this one about what's going on with the middle class. And she says, what the mosquito classes don't, she didn't call them that, but I educated her a little bit later. She says, what they're trying to do is they're trying to, like, eliminate the middle class. So all you have is, like, Mexico with the very poor and the very rich, period, end of it. There's nothing in between. And so as I'm coming up to get my order ready to be checked out, I looked at her, the checker, and I said, it sounds to me like you're describing the mosquito class who are trying to destroy all of us. And I said, I call them the mosquito class because they're the bloodsuckers, and that's about 95% of our Congress and what's going on in D.C. And she looks at me and she says, you and I need to go have a drink and talk.
that's right.
I said, amen. And so what, next time I go and see her, I'm going to go, girl, there's bars down the street. You tell me when and we'll go. And I'll bring my folder on A21. I will educate you, girl, like you. And this will be absolutely amazing.
At least you have success.
Oh, my God.
At least, I mean, what's the percentage out of five people, Linda, do you talk to?
I'm getting them one at a time. I'm getting them one at a time. I'm not kidding. And that's the only way to do it. I'm not George Whitefield. Do I have, you know, do I look like Jesus? I can't go out in the mountains. Or, you know, I can't do that. But I can get them one at a time. I can get them one at a time. You know, it's the God's truth. It's very funny. The one guy, he's a security guard down at the place where I get my cigarettes. And I was talking to him because I was, like, on fire, and I was, you know, pretty ticked off at Hillary. So I called her Hildebeest Clinton. He cracked up, and I said, I got it off the internet. He looks at me, and he got this funny grin on his face. He goes, Hildebeest? He says, that's hysterical. Can I use that? I says, go ahead, man. Great. He was laughing. He took us off. It was so funny. It was great.
At least you have a success. I basically gave up talking about the issues.
I can't give up. If there's one thing I can't do is give up fighting. I don't care.
I haven't given up fighting. I mean, I fight with y'all. But
no, I'm talking about even people on the street. It's like, oh, thanks so much, Roddy. He said people showed. I was worried in the beginning that no one would show up to the show because, you know, no one's done some for some time and we've got so many problems with the lovely people here. But, no, it's like I want to at least inspire people. I want to try to get them to think, Lord, even a little bit think on their own and not listen to these. I can't believe they swallow this stuff. I got people I've known for 22 years. They just suck it up like with a straw, the Kool-Aid. They take the cyanide Kool-Aid from the left and they just drink it like there's no tomorrow. It's unbelievable.
I don't know, Linda, but given the fact, you know, that Romney is basically one of them, maybe we don't know yet. It's possible. But
possible.
Be that as it may, our message got across, and I know it did. I know our message got across to Romney very well. I know it did.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I hate to tell you guys that, but when I was listening to the debate.
I know, but look, here's the thing. At this point, there's very few people that I trust in any of these institutions, whether it's the government or the education system, especially the media, dear Lord. I do trust God. I trust you guys here because we've borne our hearts and souls to each other. We love each other. We respect each other. This is the main thing. We're not divided. Of course, we don't agree on every little single point. That's not the point. We love our principles. We understand. We do believe in the founders. We do believe in Christ. You know, if that's not important, I don't know what is. I mean, if we can't come together on that and make it work, we are lost.
Let me ask you this question, Linda. Have you seen Harry Reid around anywhere?
I don't know. He's probably in an Alzheimer's unit where he belongs. He's such a schmendrick. He is a schmendrick. I can't help it.
But, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, each when it came to health care, when it came to education, when it came to just the Middle East, when it came to every foreign affairs, when it came to everything that we have discussed, I mean, it was like a blueprint our debate was all about. It was the same blueprint. I hate to tell you, but it was.
Okay,
as serious as a heartbeat.
Yeah. Well, no, the debate...
Ron might argue with me on that point, but I don't know. But I'm just telling you, it just sounded just like PatriotFamilies.com.
That's how I feel. 3 minutes and 30 seconds, and I'm going
to
ask Michael to say something before I play my closing song. Because we're trying to, if anyone goes in the archives in the first portion of the show, they will understand because we've got lots of prayer going out here.
Give everybody my prayers, okay?
Absolutely.
Mike has his twins.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I don't know, but we'll find out soon. I can always email him, so that's cool. And Mr. Magic, what would you like to say?
I would just like to say that please, everyone, remember that the greatest asset that you have in your life and throughout your life on heaven and earth is God, is Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord and Savior. And please, put your faith in him and help other people to learn the love of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Through faith.
Thank you, guys. God bless. It's amazing
God
to have you all here.
God bless everyone in this room.
Okay, I'm going to play a little music, and then we'll just take you out with that. And you guys, thanks so much, and hopefully join me tomorrow on Right from the Left Coast, and we will have a great time, because I got a lot to talk about tomorrow. We'll try to play this song. It'll work. There it goes.
Salvation from my
guys. Have a real great night. God bless. Love you guys. I just need to trust that you